Welcome back to Puckcast with Stats, Ben, and AJ, folks. It's RotoWire's Fantasy Hockey Podcast, the first one after Christmas was celebrated in recent days, north and south of the border by me and my co-host. Hello, friends. I'm Paul Bruno in Toronto, Ontario. You can follow me at Statsman22. My co-host is AJ Schultz, a great follow at AJ Schultz 24, based in Sun Prairie, Wisconsin. That's pretty close to RotoWire headquarters over in Madison. We were shut down for the past week because my partner was a little under the weather, but we're happy to be back with you. And on today's show, we're going to take a two-week look at what's happened in terms of the hot shooters and, of course, the usual injury notes and roster update. But before we go there, I want to ask my buddy AJ about an incident that we talked about before coming on the air that happened about a week ago. Cale Makar captured the spirit of the holiday season, I guess, AJ, where Matthew Barzal was called for a tripping penalty against the Avs star blue liner. But Makar told the referees that there should be no foul and the penalty should be revoked as he simply lost an edge and fell on his own. The penalty, in fact, was canceled. And Makar later apologized to his teammates, saying he's never going to do that again because it cost him a power play. So I think it's going to get him more calls over the rest of the season, but I really don't think he's going to ever do that again. He admitted that he probably shouldn't have done it in the first place, and I don't think any depth players are going to try that tactic anytime soon. This was a one-off, AJ, though it does reveal Makar's character, I guess, and you can bet he's going to get a lot of calls the rest of the way. But then measured against that partner, and I'm going on a little bit here, but I'll give you time in a sec. I have a review proposal because in last night's hockey game, it was a Tuesday night, in St. Louis, where the Leafs came to town, there was a stick foul on a player that drew blood late in the game. It was a tie score, and none of the officials on the ice saw the incident at all, they claim. And then it's an automatic double minor if there's a stick foul on a play like that. I say give the coaches one penalty review per game. I say let's get it right. AJ, where do you stand on it? First of all, a nod to Cale Makar, and would you ever pull off something like that, or what did you think of that incident?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely like long term. You're probably right. Long term, he'll get more calls from that incident than anything else. So, long term, maybe it is a bit of a smart play. But you know, again, not sure if it was necessarily the right choice. I certainly would never have done that. But you know, maybe Cale Makar is just a little bit of a better human than I am. So. stick taps him for being honest, but I also get, you know, his teammates not being too thrilled about that one there. On the other side, you know, I don't know. Calls get missed all the time. As long as they're getting missed somewhat equally and called somewhat equally, like, you know, it happens. I'm not trying to get into reviews all the time and add more slowdowns to the game. Like, part of the reason we like hockey is it's fast and furious. It's always going. So, yeah, I get the get it right thing, but sometimes stuff just gets missed. And you know what? It's part of the game. And just leave it be, Paul. You're just mad that it was the Leafs. If that call goes the other way, right, if the stick foul gets missed the other way, we are not even remotely talking about this,
Paul. No, I see it on the basis of all 32 teams are playing the game. Let's do it. Do them a favor. Give them at least one chance to make a penalty call get reversed or called to get it right. And that's bottom line for me. You can say it was born from a Leaf issue. Sure, in this case, it was. But it's not the first time that I've seen an egregious foul go uncalled. And you know, they give all kinds of review opportunities to the NFL. In the NBA, they have reviews. In the hockey, they get a review too. And if you get it right, I think it should be handled just like in the NFL, where you keep your review and you get another one. So maybe you can use it on a penalty situation. And on a foul like that, you could see the play. It just takes 5 seconds of review. The stick came up and hit him, caused the blood to flow, should have been called. It won't take a lot of time, but I think fans would like to see it get right. So that's where I'm coming from. And you can color it blue and white if you want. All right. As I mentioned, we were last on the air December 14th, so we're looking at a two-week window where we didn't really cover anything in the NHL. So the statistics that we touch on in terms of goals and assists and goalie performances will reflect those totals. So don't come at us and say, oh, man, that's high for a week. But no, it's right on for about 2 weeks. And AJ, it's up to you to get us started with a look at the Anaheim Ducks. I know there's a challenge there, but some neat things are happening, at least in goal. They might have discovered a new player, and a rookie of the year candidate's doing pretty well for them too.
Well, I don't know if I'd go quite that far there, Paul. You're referring to Lukas Dostal. You know, he's played maybe that's not who you're talking about.
Yeah, I am. That's fine.
You know, he's 2-3-1 in 7 appearances, 3.53 is the save percentage. So, you know, not really racking up wins here. John Gibson is going to be back tonight, so that's probably the biggest news for them. Gibson's healthy, ready to go after, missing the last 5 games here. And I think he'll take the bulk of the workload. You know, maybe Dostal earns himself the number 2 job ahead of Anthony Stolarz, who's been sidelined for a while, but I don't really see much else coming out of that. John Gibson, I would expect to continue to see the bulk of the workload, and he's going to struggle to rack up wins. He already has. It's just 5 wins in 22 games for him this year, and really that's not John Gibson's fault in a lot of ways. So, you know, they, maybe have something for the future. Gibson's not exactly, you know, old. It feels like he's been around forever because he kind of became their starter at, 21, 22, but he is actually still only 29 years old. So he should have plenty of time. So it's not like you have an aging netminder and want to do this young rebuild around him. You know, you probably got another couple of good years of Gibson left in his prime and then possibly even a few years kind of post-prime. And let's not forget he's under contract for another 4 seasons. So I think this is still John Gibson's team. I don't see that changing anytime soon.
And in Arizona, don't look now, but this team has a winning record over their last couple of weeks. AJ, I see that they're coming off a 2-game win streak into this week's remaining action. But before that, they compiled 3 more wins in 7 games. So that's a winning record over the last 9. If I look at it quickly enough, and that they haven't had a stretch like that all year long. And in the middle of all of that, some neat things are happening. Of course, everybody's talking about the fact that Jeff Chychrun's returned and he got 7 assists over the last couple of weeks. But Shane Gostisbehere has also chipped in some offense and really shown his skills on that side of the puck most of the year, but 3 more goals and 1 assist for him. Nick Schmaltz, 3 goals and 6 assists as part of a 6-game point streak. Clayton Keller with 3-3. So the numbers are positive. On the downside, they have lost Matias Michelli. He's out 6 weeks with a lower body injury. He was 2nd in rookie scoring when he went down. He got 22 points on the year. In his place, Michael Carcone got called up to take a spot on the left side there, and he scored in his first game back. He's also a guy that was a recent high draft pick, and so he'll get a look-see in Michelli's absence, I think. And then one other note is that Yanis Moser is emerging as a third scoring option on this blue line. So even if they do find a way to deal Jeff Chychrun, and everybody believes that's the case, they're still going to have 2 other scoring options on the back end. So the building blocks starting to come together, and they'll get some nice pieces, I'm sure, in an eventual Chychrun deal.
Well, it's been a bit of a rough go for Boston lately, Paul. They're just a mere 7-1-2 in their last 10 outings here. Obviously, I'm kidding as they continue to compile wins. 27 to lead the league, well clear of next best. Your Leafs have 22 wins. A few more overtime losses for your Leafs, so the point gap not quite as big as that would seem. But yeah, they continue to kind of cruise towards a potential President's Trophy win here, getting solid net mining from Jeremy Swayman, 3 starts, 2 wins, and just 6 goals allowed in there. Omark looking okay, 3 games started, 2 wins, 8 goals allowed, slightly behind, but they continue to kind of split the workload. Pasternak with 5 goals in the last 6 games, Bergeron with 6 points there, Marchand with 6 points, so everybody you want to produce is doing what you ask them to. They're relatively a healthy club right now in terms of injuries. You know, for a team that really struggled at the onset, they had a ton of guys out of the lineup to start the year. They're pretty much firing on all cylinders at this point and, really taking it to the rest of the league.
Well, and in Buffalo, they're unveiling Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen in the last few weeks because of injuries to their net mining situation. He picked up a couple of wins and a total of 4 goals against in those appearances. So looking good there. And of course, the offensive leaders are there with Tage Thompson and Alex Tuck racking up points, and Rasmus Dahlin adding to his point total with 4 total points in the last couple of weeks. But injuries to the blue line are the top story for me right now, as Owen Power, their first overall draft pick a couple of years ago, is out of the lineup. And Henry Jokiharju, a veteran back defender, is also missing. And that's caused the call-up of former 2016 second-rounder Cale Clegg. This guy was highly regarded, but Clegg has been a bit of a flop at the pro level. He's going to get another chance to do some work here on the blue line that's decimated by Hertz. And Lawrence Pelut is another guy that is drawing into the lineup on the back end. Clearly the weak spot for this team behind that excellent offense and I'll say middling goaltending. They're still relying on Craig Anderson far too much. He's on the wrong side of 40 and still being called into action. Another interesting development with the fact that 3 youngsters, Cousins, Paterka, and Quinn, have formed a very effective second scoring line. Suddenly, the 4.75 cap hit on Victor Olofsson is not looking very good. He started the season okay, but he's been MIA and dropped to third line status of late.
Well, if there's any team that's been challenging Boston, potentially for, you know, that President's Trophy, Carolina is definitely one of them of late. They are on a 9-game winning streak right now. 9-0-1 is the record in their last 10 games. So they have been absolutely rolling right now. You know, it's a little bit of everything for them. You've got offensively, Jordan Staal has been kind of their key piece lately. Martin Nekash has been doing good. Jasper Fast, you know, they've had some guys out due to injury, but that hasn't really slowed them down. Sebastian Aho, one of those. No points in his last 2 games, but that does come off a 7-game absence. So it's going to take him a little bit of time to get rolling here. 5 shots in those 2 games, so really good from that standpoint. And then, of course, between the pipes, getting phenomenal net mining by Antti Raanta right now, or at least decent enough net mining from Raanta. 8.93 the save percentage, but 4 wins over the last 2 weeks. Kuchi, as they call him, Pyotr Kuchev, Kuchekov, rather, if excellent. I can hopefully get that
excellent.
Right.
Excellent.
9.38 was the save percentage for him in 3 wins, 1.67 the save percentage. So really getting a ton of good net mining right now. And the question for me becomes, at what point, you know, do we not, you know, how does Freddie Anderson factor into this? First off, when are we going to get Freddie Anderson back? He's been out since early November. Do you impact this kind of tandem role that they've been have, you know, going really well right now? You know, for, you know, they just, the net mining has been so solid. It seems silly to kind of mess with it by putting Freddie Anderson in. But of course, you're talking about Freddie Anderson. This is a high class goaltender who's capable of winning some games and keeping some pucks out of the net. So they're going to eventually have some tough choices to make here.
And in Calgary, they got the freedom of not worrying about too many significant pieces on the injury list. Of course, Oliver Shillington's been missing for a while, but the 6-pack of defensemen that they have are all veterans, so they've stabilized, and the beneficiary of that is Jacob Markstrom, who's back in the number one seed in the net mining situation. Dan Vladar had held that role for a few weeks, but Markstrom has started 7 of the last 8 games and done so effectively. So it's safe to say that their veteran starter is ready to reclaim his position and go on a bit of a run here going forward. The goals against average under 3 finally, and the save percentage getting ready to go over the 90% mark. So those are the numbers where his career stats have normally been. And we're likely to see him go the rest of the season and more according to his usual form. So that's great news for Calgary. In front of him, we already have talked about the fact that Huberdeau is starting to look more comfortable. He racked up 6 points over the last couple of weeks, right in line with Toffoli, Dubé, Kadri. These guys are all between 5 and 8 points over the last couple of weeks. Even Milan Lucic has got into the act, AJ, with 2 goals and 2 assists. And Lindholm leading the pack with 2 and 7. So you can see the offensive mathematics are coming into shape too. So basically what I'm saying is there's look out for the Flames. They've got all hands on deck, and with the stability in net, I think they're going to be ready to go on a bit of an extended heater in the next couple of weeks.
for the Blackhawks, it continues to be kind of a lost season for them, as it has been for a while. They're actually sitting well behind Arizona for last place in the Central, 9 points back. 3-9-2 is the record over, 1-9-0, looking at the wrong record there. 1-9-0 is the record over their last 10 games. And you're seeing it start to affect even their stars. Jonathan Toews, just 2 goals in their last 6 games. Patrick Kane with 1 goal. Max Domi with a goal. And really not much else. Andreas Athanasiou, just 1 goal, no assists in his last 6 games. So you're seeing it impacting more and more of this roster. They do have Peter Mrazek and Alex Stalock both healthy right now, so they'll probably continue to split the crease moving forward. But again, as we've talked all season, this is going to be a team that come the deadline here is going to just be shelling out pieces. Can somebody come in and absorb either the Patrick Kane or the Jonathan Toews contract? That's going to be a little tough, I think, to do. But, you get them moving to somewhere, they're playing with better talent, maybe kind of revitalizes them and helps get them going.
And in Columbus, it's audition time, AJ. This season has quickly gone into the dumper, and it's accelerating now with news that Patrick Laine is out with COVID issues. And he joins Jakub Voracek, who's out for the season with his injury. Igor Chinnikov, Boone Jenner, their first-line center, also joining the ranks of the injured list up front. And, of course, they're missing Jake Bean and Zach Werenski on the blue line, and Elvis Merzlikins day-to-day in net. So what does that tell you? It's audition time up front. And Kirill Marchenko and Kent Johnson are now the two-thirds of the de facto top unit. So if you're looking to really go against the grain in DFS play, those are two candidates, because you know they're going to get a lot of ice time in those positions. They're partnered with Gustav Nyquist, who's been a perennially high scorer here for Columbus. And that might be whistling into the wind, though, AJ, in terms of real good opportunities here. Jack Roslovic has been moved around a little bit. He was formerly a center on this roster. He's moved to the right side on a line with Johnny Gaudreau. And Emil Bennstrom is another guy pressed into duty at the center position. I'd be more apt to look at him as a low-end DFS play with the likes of Roslovic surrounding him. So not much positive to talk about in terms of what's going on for this team. Certainly, they've got a lot of trouble on the back line, where Vladislav Gavrikov is their best piece, but even he may be gone by the trade deadline. So slim pickings here, but that second line for me is interesting in terms of a low-end DFS possibility.
Over in Colorado, it's basically become McKinnon watch, whether or not he's going to play in their next game. It appears to be trending in the right direction, even though he was technically put on injured reserve yesterday. That's probably a retroactive designation. So by moving him around, you're just looking at cap kind of flexibility. All signs at practice today seem to indicate he is trending in the right direction. So I will say, if not today or tomorrow, rather, I would expect McKinnon probably will be back by Saturday. That's just kind of my reading of things. Nothing official from them in terms of a timeline. Colorado could desperately use their star center back as soon as possible, especially when you consider they've had injuries throughout the forward ranks. Darren Helm has continued to be out. Val Nichushkin is out. And then, of course, Gabriel Landeskog at the start of the year. They've actually been rolling with 8 defensemen for games lately. And so a lot of that has fallen on Mikko Rantanen, who has stepped up. 5 goals, 2 assists in his last 6 games. Kale McCarr was 6 points over that stretch as well. Evan Rodriguez, another player, 4 points in 6 games. So another guy that's kind of stepped up. So they've had guys kind of step up in ways that they need them, but there is just no replacing Nathan McKinnon. So we'll have to keep an eye on whether he's back Thursday or possibly Saturday.
And in Dallas, it's been a very nice year for the Stars. Of course, the development of a couple of players up front and the discovery of Jake Oettinger as easily a top 10 goalie in this league. Behind it all are factors that contribute. Oettinger, considering the last couple of weeks, 5 game starts, 4 wins among them, and 11 goals against in that 7-2-1 team record. Wyatt Johnson's emerging too, AJ, as a found money. A 23rd overall draft pick in the 2021 draft. He's got 10 goals and 5 assists in 36 games, but 3 goals came in the last week and a half, and that they got to feel good about that. But also, how about Jamie Benn? 3 goals, 4 assists in the last six games. He suddenly has 34 points in 36 games on the season. Rebirth of his career, I'll say, after struggling for a couple of years as in depth positions on this roster. He's front and center on the top six with that effort, and one of the orneriest guys to deal with too. So they've got that going for them. Of course, Robertson and Pavelski continue to do their thing. But one other young gun who is missing in action is Denis Gurianov. He's been given an indefinite leave of absence to deal with a personal family issue. We certainly hope it turns out well. But I really like the offensive depth on this club, AJ, when you consider that they can afford to put Jamie Benn on a third scoring line with Johnston, and Tyler Seguin and Ty Dellandrea drive a second unit behind one of the best lines in hockey up front. And there's no slouches on defense, though. Ryan Sutter and Colin Miller have not really held up the end of their bargain with subpar performances on the blue line. They're probably looking to upgrade on defense in the third and fourth slots in the depth chart there.
Well, since returning from a brief one-game injury absence, Dylan Larkin has found his offensive game, 4 points in his last three games. And you look before that one game off, you have to wonder if whatever, you know, was bothering him had been kind of a lingering issue. He had just 1 point in five games, sits out a game to get healthy, and then comes back seemingly stronger than before. So probably a good decision to sit him that game, get him some rest. The offense in general has been pretty middling from Detroit of late. You've got Michael Rasmussen with 5 points as your leading scorer. David Perron right there with 5 points as well. So obviously getting Larkin back is a huge win. They're really not getting anything close to quality net mining right now. Ville Husso 1-1-1 in his last three contests, 8.79 with a save percentage. Magnus Helberg comes in. He loses his one appearance this past week with an even lower save percentage. And they still have Alex Nedeljkovic on the roster here. They just haven't started him since December 8th. No real reports of an injury in this one, but you consider he's given up 9 goals in his last two appearances. It's no wonder that they're sitting him. You have to wonder if maybe they're looking to possibly trade Nedeljkovic just because of how poorly he seems to be playing right now, maybe get somebody else to bite on him. He's got, he's in the final year of a contract, would be a UFA at the end of the year. So maybe somebody with an injured backup or trying to see, you know, hey, let's have first dibs on signing this guy if he can actually come in and look better. But certainly things not going well for Nedeljkovic in Detroit right now.
When you consider two players in the league having 67 points and 57 points respectively, leading the NHL scoring race in McDavid and Draisaitl, and then it drops down to Jason Robertson, 51 points, and Tage Thompson at 50 for other teams. I'm surprised that the Oilers are just barely in a playoff position today. But then you consider the fact that their goaltending has been an issue for much of the season, and then it starts to crystallize a little bit. Certainly Jack Campbell has lost the net here, and in his place, Stuart Skinner has performed well enough to garner 5 starts over the last week and a half, 2 wins in that mix, 15 goals against them. Therein lies the problem, AJ. Their best goalie is barely around the 3 goals against average. He started 10 of his last 12 outings, compiling a 2.82 goals against and a 9.15 save percentage. Those are pretty good numbers. He'll have to continue that over the rest of the season, though, for this team to solidify things. And they've shown faith in him by rewarding him with a new contract. $2.6 million over each of the next 3 years is a nice payday, but they're still looking at Jack Campbell with his $5 million over the next 5 years, wondering what to do about that situation. That's the cloud over here in Edmonton. Certainly, they have to be pleased with two other ex-Leafs who are doing their own thing and doing it at a high level recently. Zach Hyman at performing at a point-per-game pace, having a career year. And Tyson Barrie starting to put some points on the board with 7 points to his record as well. Surprising development for me, Jesse Puljujärvi's back in the top line mix over the last 3 games. He's got 1 assist in those tilts. The 3 centermen now are McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. They're really trying to spread things around, but I think they can't wait for Evander Kane to return, and that should happen soon from his wrist injury. There'll be more line juggling then, and we'll see next week how that unfolds. We'll be able to report on that for you at that point.
Should be some good injury news coming for the Florida Panthers, possibly as early tomorrow, as all of Alexander Barkov, Aaron Ekblad, and Radko Gudas are potential plays tomorrow. Obviously, Barkov would have the biggest impact as their first-line center. He would likely play alongside Carter Verhaeghe and Colin White in that first-line role. Obviously, Ekblad would potentially be a factor on the power play as well with that number one unit, really bolstering his value for you there. Gudas, more of a depth player, probably not going to impact a lot of fantasy teams, but good news for them. Could be, you know, maybe less shots faced by goalie Sergei Bobrovsky and Spencer Knight with a guy like Gudas back in the lineup. And so they trending in the right direction health-wise, and that could set them up to make a run here in the back half of the season. They're obviously down in sixth right now, 7 points off an automatic third place. And then, of course, there's the wild card hunt, which they are definitely trailing behind in as well. They are a full 9 points behind the Rangers for that wild card spot.
AJ, when Cal Peterson was sent down by Los Angeles to their minor league affiliate, I thought that they were really going to be in trouble in the Nets. They were counting on this guy to at least partner effectively with Jonathan Quick, and he really hasn't. In the minors, though, 6 games played, total of 12 goals against average. That's a 2.00 goals against down there, so he's got his act together. But I don't think he's going to get a promotion anytime soon because Phoenix Copley was brought up in his place, and all he's done is win 7 of his 8 decisions and produced a goals against average of 243, save percentage of 91.2. So those are great numbers. And again, a situation of found money for Los Angeles, kind of stabilizing this team and putting them on one of the best runs they've had all season. So they have to be thrilled about that. And coupling that with some offensive pieces that are doing well, Danault with 7 points, Kempe with 5, Arvidsson with 5. It's the veteran leadership that is stepping forward for this club at a critical time. So offense and defense looking good. They make themselves a tough out all of a sudden.
Over in Minnesota, it's been a little bit more Filip Gustavsson of late over the last 2 weeks as we look here. He got 4 starts to Marc-Andre Fleury's 2, and through no fault of Fleury's, 9.62 save percentage, 1.00 goals against average in those 2 games. And I think it's just kind of how the schedule has kind of shook out for them. They had a back-to-back heading into the holidays, so they had Fleury take the first one, Gustavsson takes the second, and then they're in another back-to-back. They're on the second half of that tonight. They had Gustavsson take the first one, Fleury getting the second one. So really, in a lot of ways, that's just good management of a veteran, a 38-year-old netminder. You have these back-to-backs, give them the extra time off in between. So really, I don't think it should be taken, if you're a Fleury fantasy owner and season long, as any sort of indication that Fleury is going to lose starts here. They have been splitting of late, so that could continue. But again, they've also been a little back-to-back heavy as well. So that's obviously a factor here as well.
In Montreal, you know, there's some interesting developments here. We haven't talked too much about Arber Jacki. He looked like kind of an intriguing piece when you saw all the rough stuff that he was involved with in the exhibition schedule. But he's performed admirably enough to put a +2 on the board as well in terms of season-to-date numbers. The goal scoring and the assists are not really there, 10 in 32 games. But he's there for his physicality, and he's not hurting them on, as the plus-minus indicates. So a good pickup there, and a guy who's going to be part of this team leadership, I think, when they start to emerge as a more of a competitive club. Up front ahead of them, certainly everybody wants to know what's happening with that spot between Suzuki and Caulfield. Right now, Yoel Armia is getting a look there. The veteran is going to provide some physicality. I think it's a good fit here, AJ, but it's born out of the situation where Sean Monahan has been sidelined. He was on the IR, should be returning to the lineup soon, and that might cause more changes. Jonathan Drouin is drawn into a top six role. I wonder when this guy's going to run out of chances, though, because honestly, the offense is just not there, and he's getting yet another top six opportunity, and I just wonder how many more kicks at the can this guy's going to get. But they're looking at tryouts all across the board. And again, I have to say, Josh Anderson now dropping to a third line situation, looks like he's insulating Yuri Slutkovsky there, the prize rookie. But apart from being his bodyguard, Anderson should be scoring a lot more than he is. And for the salary that he's getting paid, he just shows up once every four games or so. And that's not enough for me. I don't like the fit there. And I think that if they could jettison that contract, he might be a player that's on the move at the trade deadline.
There are some injury concerns for the New Jersey Devils, specifically on the blue line, where both Ryan Graves and John Marino were designated for injured reserve today. Now, both of those guys have already been considered week to week, so this shouldn't come as a huge surprise. And neither is exactly an offensive powerhouse right now, but certainly it's going to stretch their organizational depth. They brought up Tyler Wotherspoon from the minors in a corresponding move to those IR transactions. So could be an opportunity where, or a situation where rather, you're going to see a little bit more workload for Vitek Vanacek. We obviously saw what happened against Boston when he gets yanked after giving up, against Carolina, gave up three goals on just 13 shots, then goes into the Boston game as well. Comes in for Mackenzie Blackwood there, who got pulled after two periods. So you're seeing kind of corresponding with some of these blue line injuries, their netminders are struggling right now. And I think there's a chance that that could continue because they just don't have a whole lot of support on the blue line.
And in Nashville, you're talking about a team that's, if I told you they lost eight of the last 10 games, you'd think I can't be talking about the Predators. This is a team that looks like a roster that should be better, much better than they have shown so far. And it's just not happening right now, but at least UC Saros is doing his bit. His numbers, like Markstrom, are trending back to his career norms after a sluggish start. And if it's on him to continue in that regard, the offense is just not keeping pace. And you look at the fact that their leading scorer after 33 games is Roman Josi, again, tied with Philip Forsberg and Matt Duchene. That 26 points is not really indicative of a team with a good enough offense. There are players that have underperformed here, and they include Nino Niederreiter and Ryan Johansson behind them. And Yakov Trenin is another young guy that I expect much to take a jump, but he only has 8 points on the season to date. So there's been some disappointments among the offense. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Tanner Janot. A lot of people were high on him at the beginning of the season. You weren't one of them, AJ, to your credit. I was, though, and to see him with 3 goals and 3 assists in 33 games played is a big disappointment, maybe the biggest one on this roster to date.
The Islanders, Sorokin goes 6 games, has two wins in there, 11 goals allowed. And so that speaks to some of the problems that they're having on Long Island of late. You look at their last 10, just 4-4-2. So pretty pedestrian look for them right now, especially as they continue to, you know, kind of work through some injuries. Semyon Varlamov is still out. Looks like we could even see Corey Schneider tomorrow. They've got Clutterbuck, Palmieri, Oliver Wahlstrom is picked up an injury. Adam Pelish is out as well. So they're a really banged up squad dealing with injuries throughout the lineup. And it's showing in their recent performances. Whether or not they'll be able to start building some wins, honestly, there's a lot of season left, but in the Metro, it almost feels like they're falling behind. Now, they do just have 42 points, but they played more games than some of the other teams, like the Pittsburgh Penguins at 34, New Jersey Devils also have 34. So they really cannot suffer kind of a long run, a drought like this, if they're going to be in the hunt. You can't be a middling team in the Metropolitan. You have to be winning more games than you're losing, or it's just not going to work out here. You can't just go skating even by with something like a 4-4-2 record.
You know what? You're right. And no team understands that more than New York Rangers. They're in that mix, AJ, battling with your Penguins and the Caps for one of the last playoff spots. If the playoffs started today, in fact, both wildcard clubs would come from the Metro Division. And that's not even talking about New York Islanders, who are nipping at the Rangers and the Penguins' heels in the mix with the Capitals for even third place in that division. So it's going to be topsy-turvy, only two points separating those four teams. The Rangers, trying to do their part to stay in the mix, are banking on Shesterkin continuing to do what he does. 5 game starts and 3 wins over the last couple of weeks, totaling 11 goals against. The goals against right down where they needed to be to keep competitive. Interesting development up front, though. Cavalcaco, 3 goals and 2 assists. he's new to the league, only a couple of years in, but finally getting some traction, showing his offensive skills. He's got a great opportunity to play with Mika Zibanejad and Chris Kreider on a very potent top line. So pretty good sneaky DFS value play there if you go that route. And then Jimmy Vesey and Trouba, 3 points each for them over the last couple of weeks. Vincent Trocheck's been blossoming as a second line scoring winger here. And you got to like what he's doing paired with Artemi Panarin, AJ. So pretty happy for that situation for those guys in New York.
For Ottawa, it's been a pretty good 2 week stretch here for Cam Talbot. 3-1-1 is the record in his five appearances over the last 2 weeks. You've got a goals against average just below three, save percentage about 9.13 here. So again, a good week for him. They are dealing with a few kind of injury concerns on the back end. You've got Artem Zub, Nikita Zaitsev still working to come back. Bernard Docker could be back soon. Eric Brandstrom is also still sidelined. So some injury concerns on the blue line that could see the kind of shot totals faced by these netminders, specifically Cam Talbot, creeping up offensively. They're pretty healthy on the front end here. In terms of recent producers, you've got Batherson with a solid week, 9 points in six games. DeBrincat, the same, 9 points, seven of those being assists. Brady Tkachuk with 6 points as well. If there's a concern here, it's the fact of how drastically it drops off after that. When you've got Batherson, DeBrincat at nine, Tkachuk at six, then suddenly your next best is Claude Giroux at just 3 points in their last six games. Shane Pinto, Thomas Chabot at that same level. So some of it, obviously, the fact Tim Stützle was sidelined for a chunk of time during that stretch. He's healthy now and has 2 points in two games since returning from a four-game absence. So as he gets rolling, I think some of these, you know, disparities between the top and the bottom of their lineup in terms of offense should kind of transition here.
Have you noticed that we're seeing more John Tortorella blowing his cap, his stat issues, AJ? They should make for a good
fodder. No, I haven't noticed more of it because it constantly happens. It always happens.
We're going to see
more. John Tortorella, you need to be prepared for that.
We're going to see more and more, buddy, over the next couple of weeks because some bad news came down the pipe. Carter Hart, who had performed well in the last couple of weeks, is back on the IR with an upper body injury. There's no idea yet from what I'm hearing how long it's going to be. But the net mining tandem now is going to be Samuel Ersson and Felix Sandstrom. That's a combo that has a total of 16 NHL appearances between them in their careers. So it should be some tough sledding ahead of them. But I have to be happy for a couple of guys. Travis Konecny has looked very feisty in this roster and really rebounded from a poor season last year. Got 4 goals and 3 assists going for him in the last couple of weeks. And so the offense is coming from him. And Morgan Frost is another guy who's starting to light it up with 3 goals and 1 helper over that stretch. And on defense, they're getting production from D'Angelo and York. So there are some pieces that are ready to compile some offense. And James Van Riemsdyk is given a top six role, largely in the with the hope that he's going to parlay that into a hot streak that gets him traded at the deadline. So some method to the madness here. I'm surprised, though, with what's going on with Kevin Hayes, AJ. He must be in the coach's doghouse because the leading scorer is now on a third-line wing position, and that smells like a bit of a problem in the dressing room to me because this guy has put up some totals this year to lead the club offensively. It's just I'm waiting for a shoe to drop there and more information to come from that situation because something smells funny there.
Well, Paul, I'll jump in real quick and just say on those two Flyer situations, obviously we saw Kevin Hayes scratch that one game despite being their leading scorer. He voiced his disagreement. So there's obviously that factor. Clearly him and Tortorella not on the same page there. And then as far as Carter Hart goes, I did want to just update. Yeah. They are expecting him to actually start their next game on Saturday. So the IR thing, kind of a procedural with him not being able to go tonight. But they are expecting him to start on both Saturday and their next game, I believe, which is Monday as well.
Well, he better stay healthy because I mentioned the lack of depth behind him. So a cautionary tale for sure. In any case, let's take a pause to give our sponsors some airtime. We'll be back with some more news and notes from around the league and the remaining 10 clubs. You're listening to RotoWire's podcast with Statsman and AJ. We'll be back right after these messages.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we are back on RotoWire's podcast with Statsman and AJ. At the moment now, we'll give the mic over to AJ to remind you how to follow us on a weekly basis. But before that, also to give a nod to our premier sponsor at Caesars.
Yeah, as Paul mentioned, Caesars, a big supporter of our show, and we want to give them some love. As you all, I'm sure, are aware, the NFL season is entering the final weeks of the regular season. There's tension and a lot of stuff on the line in every one of these games. I encourage you to get in on the action, get something on the line as well. It is the best time to try Caesars Sportsbook. Today, anyone who is at least 21 years of age and in a licensed Caesars Sportsbook state can create a new account and redeem the Caesars Sportsbook promo code ROTO15. That's ROTO15. The promo code gives new users a risk-free bet up to $1,500. Visit Caesars.com/sportsbooks or download the Caesars Sportsbook app today. And don't forget to use promo code ROTO15 when signing up. Of course, if you have questions about our takes on the end of the NFL season, something NHL related, obviously Paul is here for NBA or MLB. If you're interested in that, I'll talk soccer. All of these sports questions, we are available to chit-chat with you over on Twitter. You can follow me at AJSchultz24, and you can follow Paul the Statsman at Statsman22.
All right, partner, that was a mouthful, so I'm going to give you a chance to collect your breath, but we have 10 teams to go through, and one of them that's up next is the Pittsburgh Penguins right now. Are you ready to give me the latest news on what's happening in Pitt?
Well, the latest news there is what in the I'll refrain from using four-letter words, but happened last night as they lose 5-1 to the Islanders. Not thrilled with that one. Tristan Jarry looking subpar. Pierre-Oliver Joseph, the only player to produce a goal for the Penguins. And really, after a really strong start to December, kind of a bad end to the month for Jarry when you consider 9 goals allowed in his last 2 games. Give him a little bit of leeway, giving up 4 to Carolina. That's a really good offensive team, really good defensive team too, actually. But I give him a little bit of break on that one, but you get all this time off, you come back and you give up 5 to the Islanders. A little disappointing there. I expect we'll see Casey DeSmith tonight as they enter a back-to-back. But overall, things have been pretty good for the Penguins. Obviously, Jeff Petrie has been out for a while. They did have to put both Josh Archibald and Ryan Poehling on IR this morning and to call up Drake Caggiula from the minors. Not really a huge impact, mostly a fourth line impact. But, you know, those two guys, not huge losses. Again, on the blue line, Chad Ruwedel dealing with an injury. They called up Ty Smith from the minors, which could be an indication Ruwedel might be sidelining long term. If Ruwedel is on your fantasy team, please reach out to me at AJ Schultz24 on Twitter, because I don't understand why. He's not really an offensive powerhouse. Maybe if your league heavily uses blocks or hits, he would make sense there. But I love Chad Ruwedel. He's been a great soldier for the Penguins for a very long time. Key kind of seventh defenseman, but not going to really impact your team. So overall, some kind of minor injuries, a couple of poor performances for Jarry. Those are kind of the main takeaways at this point for the Penguins.
And Seattle's continuing to write an interesting story, AJ. Early in December, I thought that they were ready to stumble and fall out right out of contention. They lost 5 out of 6 games. But since then, they beat Winnipeg, they beat St. Louis, and they lost in a shootout to Vancouver. And along the way, they scored 15 goals in those 3 games. So that tells me the offense continues to be in high gear. And when I look at the individual scoring, I do see that reflected in the totals of fellas like Sprong, Donato, and McCann. So that speaks well of the offense. But to me, whether they can stay in contention is going to depend largely on the tandem of Marty Jones and Philip Grubauer. Jones has performed better than I thought he would, actually, on the season, AJ, by miles. So that's been a big factor in this team staying in contention. They certainly have unveiled the odds-on favorite among skaters to contend for the Calder Trophy. Some may say that there's a goalie in Carolina that has it all sewn up, but Matty Beniers making a case as the leading point getter among rookies and playing first line minutes alongside Eberle and McCann on a very credible top unit. Wennberg, Bjorkstrand, and Schwartz a pretty effective second line. So you can see that they've got 6 bona fide NHL forwards there to deliver the offense, while the defense and goaltending has to do their part to have this team stay in contention.
Well, over in San Jose, the storyline continues to be Erik Karlsson here. The team, the team itself, not doing great, obviously, 7th in Pacific. Karlsson, though, 10 points in their last 5 games here. He continues to put himself in contention for the Norris. He leads the league in goals with 13, leads the league in points with 48 among defensemen right now. Of those 10 points the last 2 weeks, 5 of those coming on the power play as well. So really, Erik Karlsson, kind of the lone bright spot for this team right now. And talking about the Norris Trophy, look, I think a lot of us, myself included, probably considered for the next couple of years, we're going to be talking, is it Makar's year? Is it a Fox year? Which way is this going to go? a number of guys stepping in to say, whoa, 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 let's not count the chickens before they hatch. Erik Karlsson being one of them. Josh Morrissey has 40 points to start the year. Rasmus Dahlin of Buffalo with 37 points. So a few other guys getting into the mix here, trying to put their stamp on the Norris Trophy race.
And in St. Louis, this is a team that's perennially been in the Stanley Cup hunt. In fact, they won it a couple of years ago, but they're looking like tough times might be ahead for this club and maybe a changing of the guard. I watched them play against the Leafs last night. It was a tight game all the way through, the Leafs coming through in overtime session. But during the course of the game, there was a lot of talk about a couple of veterans on this club. So I'll add my thoughts on Ryan O'Reilly and Vlad Tarasenko, both of them likely not to be able to be re-signed here going to the cap structure situation with the Blues. And you wonder if they can get some kind of a haul. They sure should for the talent that those guys bring to the table. Though you can look at also the fact that Vladimir Tarasenko, while he's got 29 points, he's carrying a minus 14. That's one of the worst marks on the team here. And Ryan O'Reilly, a minus 26. So the offensive skills, not total, and total's not there. And certainly the two-way play, not there for these guys like it's been in the past. So a bit of a red flag that I'll raise, that nobody raised during the broadcast last night. A bit of a concern. And also on defense, in terms of the depth back here, you're talking about a club that's missing three pieces on the back end. Two of them are veterans that they will miss dearly. Torrey Krug should be missing for the next 6 weeks, in fact, news that came down recently. Marco Scandella, of course, has been on the sideline for a while. That leaves a depth chart thin behind Letty, Falk, and Parayko. Certainly Falk's having another nice offensive season. Parayko, similarly, Letty, not so much. And beyond them, it's pluggers like Mikkola, Rosen, and Pertuzzo rounding out the top six. So that's really an area where you're going to look to see this team upgrade if they move some pieces around, that they'll be looking to acquire young defensemen to fill that gap going forward.
Over in Tampa Bay, you look at the top of their list here, a bit of for starters, a bit of a quiet week. When I give these point totals, they might seem a little bit down, but compared to some of the other teams, the Lightning only played four games over the last 2 weeks. But the top of the board here, Nikita Kucherov, Brandon Hagel, Victor Hedman, Steven Stamkos, and Braden Point. All the guys you expect to be at the top of their list here are producing for them offensively. And of course, they have Vasilevskiy between the pipes, which always is a potential game-changing performance from him. He 9.51 was the save percentage. Again, with the schedule, they went a little bit even split here between Vasilevskiy took two, Brian Elliott took two. Excuse me again, sorry. Looks like it'll be Vasilevskiy going tonight. I would expect we'll see a little bit more workload from him coming out of the holiday break here. A little rested from that, a little extra time off, and he'll start to pick up more of the workload.
And in Toronto, AJ, you know what? I should be smiling like the butcher's dog here, but this team is playing at an 80% win percentage over the last 25 games played, and I think they've gained only 2 points on the Bruins. So they're locked into the second place situation in the Atlantic Division, hoping that they can close the gap on the Bees and hold off the Bolts. But otherwise, the news is pretty encouraging. On the defensive side of the puck, we have been talking about injuries galore on the back end, but it looks like Rasmus Sandin and Morgan Riley are going to drop back into the lineup possibly before the end of this week here, as both of them are back at practice. So they have eight experienced defensemen in the mix, including Connor Timmins, who's made a real good account of himself since he joined in to help plug the gap. And he's been gobbling upwards about 18 minutes a game and piling up some assists along the way. It's going to be interesting to see how this team moves forward in terms of the defensive depth. But I think you can safely say you can take that aspect off the shopping list going forward, and they'll be focused on upgrading the offense. And one of the upgrades to the offense in-house is Carly Yarncroc has emerged as a bit of an offensive force since he's been plugged in with Mitch Marner and John Tavares. He had a 3-point game last night that just builds on his confidence and what he's been doing since he was joined that unit. And then the third line behind them emerged as a really solid checking line with David Kampf centering Pierre Engvall and Alex Kerfoot, who were both in the doghouse for me a viewer of this club and a fan of this club, but even they are starting to deliver the goods. So very few negatives to report in Leafland. The health of the defense is going to be better, and I can't wait to see what this team looks like when they get all those guys back.
Well, Paul, a couple of weeks ago, you talked about some concerns about Bo Horvat and the contract situation and whether it would affect him and everything. Well, I think we can definitively say no. When you consider the game before the holiday break, 2 goals, 2 assists. Yesterday, the game coming out of the holiday break, much the same. Another 4-point performance from Horvat. Overall, that's 10 points in the last 6 games, including 6 goals over that stretch as well. So I don't think there's anything to be concerned about there. They continue to roll with Spencer Martin as long as Thatcher Demko is sidelined. 6 weeks was the original timeline there, which still puts us into mid-January. So at some point here, we're probably going to get some Colin Dalila, which is obviously a concern. His numbers so far to start the year in limited action have been pretty good. Wins in both games and 2.33, the goals against average. But that would be a drastic improvement from his time in Chicago, where you look over the course of 4 seasons with the Blackhawks here, just 9 wins in roughly, it looks like 32, if I can do some quick math, 32 contests here. So really a very different Colin DeLeo we're seeing right now. Whether that can continue remains to be seen. I imagine once they do get Thatcher Demko back, he'll go back to the minors. Spencer Martin will be the number 2 option behind Demko, and they'll just roll from there. So as long as they can get through it, which so far they have been, I think this team could start climbing the standings. They're a little behind the 8-ball, obviously, but 7-3-0 in their last 10 games, a 3-game win streak right now. There's plenty of work to do. They are still 5 points back from Seattle in terms of the final spot in the Pacific Division, but they should be firmly in the wild card hunt here as well.
You know, I got to take my hat off to the Vegas Knights. They've gone through a minefield of injuries. Currently, they're missing a boatload of talent on the back end. Zach Whitecloud, Shea Weber, of course, on the injury list for the whole season. Not going to ever appear in hockey again. But Zach Whitecloud, Shea Theodore, Alec Martinez, all key components of this back end, missing in action right now. That's put a lot of load on Alex Pietrangelo and Braden McNabb, the experienced hands who remain. But then they've forced Daniil Miromanov, Ben Hutton, Braden Pekal to take some ice time. And Nicholas Hague, probably the only other guy with any kind of experience as a top pairing partner for Alex Pietrangelo. Despite all those shenanigans on the defense, they've still managed to win 4 of their last 7 games played and keep a lid on the goals against for the most part. And credit for that has to go also to Logan Thompson, who's continuing to have an outstanding year as what I thought was a stopgap situation for Vegas in the net. But this kid has emerged with a great record on the season. His average goals against average below 2.7 on a team that's been missing so many pieces. They have relied also on the veterans up front to carry the load. Stone, Stevenson, and Carlson doing their bit. And they're hoping to get Jack Eichel back from the infirmary possibly before the end of the week, too. That'll be a big boost to the offense here. And but really, they got to hope that the defense does get healthier in the near term to round things out and give them a chance to push for an upper seeding in the playoff standings going forward.
Well, obviously, the big storyline in Washington is Alex Ovechkin getting to 801 and surpassing Gordie Howe for second all-time on 802, actually. Second all-time on the goal-scoring list. So now it's all about the pursuit of wow, complete blank there. All about the pursuit of the goal-scoring title here for Alex Ovechkin. I'm Wayne Gretzky, and so that will be the storyline there. In addition to that, Washington did get back Darcy Kemper from injury. He had been sidelined for about, looks like about 8 games there due to an injury, and his 2 games back has looked really good. Just 2 goals allowed in 2 games, and that includes a shutout performance against the New York Rangers last night. So I would expect right now it's hard to gauge because he came back and he came back right into a back-to-back. So are they actually going to split the time between him and Charlie Lindgren, who has looked really good while Kemper has been sidelined, or are they going to go back to giving Kemper the work every night? It's something to watch. I would expect you would see at best for Lindgren, maybe a 40% share of the crease. I think Darcy Kemper's come back so strongly right now that it would be hard not to give him at least a 60% workload of the starts now. But we'll see how they decide to deploy them. It's definitely something to continue to watch there in Washington.
Well, for all the good that I saw in Vegas in against a lengthy injury list, AJ, it's the opposite in Winnipeg. A growing injury list here has led to some real problems in Winnipeg's fortunes. They've only won three of their last nine games, and those injuries concerns mounting with Nate Schmidt, Logan Stanley on the back end, Blake Wheeler on the IR, Mason Appleton, Nikolai Ehlers, Cole Perfetti even joined them now. He was a guy that was given a chance to find his way with a top six opportunity while some of the other guys were out. Now he joins them. And so Carson Kuhlman has been pressed into service. Fans of the league will remember he cut his teeth with the Boston Bruins, never making it beyond a depth player there. He's now on the second line right wing between Scheifele and Adam Lowry. Lowry himself, not normally a top six player. So that's how thin things have gotten there. And even on the first line, Pierre-Luc Dubois and Kyle Connor are playing with Sam Gagner, another guy who's been more of a third or fourth line guy for much of the last few seasons. So that spells trouble for this team, and they're trying to remain afloat against that. A very tough row to hoe to stay in contention. A lot of people thought this would be the top team in Canada this season. They've fallen on hard times. They'll be hard-pressed, I think, to find a playoff spot unless they get healthy and turn their fortunes around very soon. So that takes us through the 32 teams that we looked at over the last 2 weeks as opposed to one, bringing you up to date on the injury situation, line combinations of all of them. And to close things out tonight, we're going to take a look at the sports book on DraftKings website, the betting odds for all the games on tonight's Wednesday night slate of games. We'll begin, AJ, with a look at Montreal Canadiens versus the Tampa Lightning in Florida. And I don't know where you stand on this, but I think Tampa's really got to get their act together and kind of close the gap on the Leafs. I think the Bruins are out of sight for them, but certainly they would like to get home ice against Toronto or whoever finishes third. So they're poised to play the Montreal Canadiens tonight, and the betting favorite, a heavy favorite, when you consider on the money line, they're -365. Where do you stand on what might be the best opportunity to put some money down for tonight's game?
Yeah, with this one, I honestly think you might want to consider, you know, Tampa Bay has lost their last two, looking a little bit shaky just recently. I know I just said overall they look really good, and that's true. So maybe you consider taking Montreal +1.5 goals, comes in at +125. So it's a really solid return for only having, you know, Montreal can lose by one. So I think it might actually be worth considering. That way, you know, Lightning could still win, which we fully expect they will. But if they only win by one, perhaps you can get some value out of Montreal. I'll run us into the next game, Paul. It's the Pittsburgh Penguins against the Detroit Red Wings. You've got money line favors Pittsburgh -205 here, an over under of 6.5. And then Penguins on the puck line +125. I'm not sure I go quite with that value. I might try and find something else here because obviously the money line's not a good return either. So, Paul, where would you go in this Penguins-Red Wings game? Is it to the puck line or would you try and find something else?
Well, I look at Detroit on the money line, AJ, +175. If you think that they can upset your club, that's where I might go tonight, just on a hunch that the troubles that Pittsburgh showed last night repeat themselves this evening and force you to concern yourself on a mini losing streak here. But the Red Wings have some offensive firepower. They've got veterans in the net that will keep it close. And so I wouldn't mind taking a bit of a look there on the money line. What about the Bruins' visit to New Jersey, AJ? This one's an interesting one. They battled last week, and it went down to the nub late in the game, a late decision. And I think we're in for more of the same, looking for a close game. What do you think on that one?
Yeah, I think, you know, my first reaction here is you're getting -120 on the Bruins just on the money line. I think that's a really good spot to be in here. They just, you know, they have been such a good team, maybe not quite as dominant as they were before. So I really like that look here. I think you could maybe find, you know, maybe some other options, you know, that you could get a little bit more value. Trying to find, a lot of times they have like to win, but in overtime. I haven't seen that one quite yet, but it might be worth looking at here. Because if you can find that, I think there's a chance that this one could go the distance. I still think overall, just straight money line, puck line totals, I would go with Boston minus 120. I think they're the favorite, and you're still getting decent value here. For the start of the two late games tonight, I'll take us through the Golden Knights and Anaheim Ducks. You've got the Knights, the favorite, minus 160. Six is the total in this one. Golden Knights puck line plus 140. That's pretty good value when you consider Anaheim's a pretty weak team here, Paul. Would you go that puck line? Would you consider maybe even moving to an alternate puck line here to get a little bit more value?
I like the value on that. Plus 140 for a team that should pile up some goals against a team that gives up more than anybody. I'll take that bet. The Ducks really have trouble defensively. The Knights have the offensive gear, as I mentioned. I'm expecting a high-scoring game here. You might even look at a parlay and take a look at the over, see if they go over six goals. I might even go higher than that, seeing an offensive explosion between these teams. So pick Vegas to win and go maybe seven goals and see what that payoff looks like as a bit of a parlay situation. And finally, I'll let you decide on what we do with the Calgary-Seattle game. Two teams that are playing rather well, and the goaltending in Calgary, as I said, seems to have stabilized in favor of Markstrom, so that's a good sign for them. But I wonder if Seattle might offer enough resistance for you to pick them on one of the lines here.
Yeah, this one, basically, looking at the lines, is a coin toss here, minus 110 for both teams. So I think for me, I'm going to stay away from that aspect of this game. Instead, maybe look at some player props. I'll start Tyler Toffoli, four goals in his last seven games. You can get him at plus 215 as an anytime goal scorer here for Calgary. And then even, maybe look to the Seattle side. I would expect we'll see multiple goals here. If you're a Penguin fan like I am, you're not willing to trust Daniel Sprong, even though he has four goals in the last four games. Instead, maybe look to a guy Jared McCann, who has three goals in his last couple of games here. And so you could get some really good value out of McCann. I think the player props for me is the way to go. Maybe you look at some shot on goal totals or some point totals, one Elias Lindholm over 1 point is minus 160, not a ton of value there, but still an option for you. But I think in a toss up like this one, I prefer to look at some player props.
AJ, we'll close the show with a brief chat about the World Junior Hockey Championships currently underway on the East Coast of Canada. And early upset in game one, Czechia defeated Canada 5-2. And the United States was in tough in a 1-0 game that they managed to win, I think, in the early returns. Are you following this with any kind of interest? I know mine is a little bit tainted by the fact that the Leafs are Leafs and Penguins are the two teams in this tournament that don't have any players represented on any of the rosters. But interesting look with a couple of the upsets that have happened so far. And I know this is something that certainly catches the eye of a lot of fans north of the border.
Yeah, Paul, as we've talked in past years, this is not something that's really on my radar. And I don't think it is on the radar for a lot of U.S.-based fans. We have so many other options on sporting events to watch that I think this one, unfortunately, and due to broadcast schedules, stuff like that kind of falls under the radar, at least for me. If I'm wrong about that, if you're a huge U.S.-based fan of World Juniors, you're watching every game, hit us up over on Twitter. I'll give that plug again, at AJSchultz24, at Statsman22. Let us know what you think in these situations, because I unfortunately have not watched any of these games yet.
Well, I'm going to get have a feast over the next few days as the tournament continues. It's a big deal in Canada, AJ, and just to get an eye on who the top prospects are, and even a number of undrafted players here getting a good look at them on this stage is something that I've always been intrigued by. In any case, we will next speak to you in the new year. All the best to our listeners. A happy 2023 to you, AJ, as well. And we'll look forward to picking up where we left off today on the next episode. Thanks for listening to RotoWire's podcast with Statsman and AJ. And we'll see you next year. So long, everybody.